Imagine growing up in a country where you've known only one leader. There are elections, but it's always the same guy who gets chosen, a leader who's sick and old.
Well, the truth is that I really can't describe him to you, because Bouteflika hasn't spoken to the Algerian people since 2012, 2013. And the only way you see him is if a letter he wrote is being read on the news, and you don't even know if he wrote it.
And that kind of leadership from President Abdelaziz Bouteflika of Algeria, 20 years in power, has frustrated many people there, which is why that young man and thousands of other Algerians have been in the streets for the past month demanding real change. We're talking Algeria now, and with me in the studio are producers Chris Wolf and Lucy Martirosian, who've been following this story. Hey, Lucy. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Marco.
Hi, Marco. Yep, it sounds very familiar to me.
Yeah, Chris, you're our history guy. What do you mean by it all sounding very familiar?
Well, there was a similar wave of protest in 1988 that eventually led to a rather shocking crackdown. Everyone in Algeria knows that story, so it tells you something of the courage of these new protesters.
Yeah, we'll get the skinny from you in a couple of minutes, Chris. But first, Lucy, you spoke with this protester we just heard from. What are he and other Algerians saying about the demonstrations that have gripped Algeria for the past month or so?
So Algerians are calling these protests historic. And we heard from Omar Jabi. He's 17 years old, still in high school. He's only known Bouteflika his whole life, this sick, invisible leader. I asked him if he thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah, it was weird, because you always see other nations with the young president.
Omar's been going to every single one of these protests except for one. He goes downtown to Algiers Center with his dad. There are so many people there, hundreds of thousands of Algerians at every corner, that he can feel the earth shake when he goes. There are chants, signs with dark humor and Algerian inside jokes, mostly making fun of Bouteflika. These protests make Omar feel like he has a voice.
I feel like it's important to every Algerian, especially as a student, because we have been told that we are the future of Algeria. We will be guiding it in the future. So it's important to be there now, because the generation that is governing Algeria right now will be gone in the next 10, 20 years, and we will be the ones that will be here.
These protests have been going on for over 4 weeks now, and they're peaceful.
You know, we have the label of being very violent people and aggressive during protests, but it was nothing like what's happening now.
Firas Wamis is a filmmaker in Algeria. She's 36. She says that it's actually significant that for the first time in a while, something like this could happen in Algeria.
People got back the public space, which is very important. I don't know if you are aware, but in 2001, there was a presidential decree that banned protests in Algiers, especially for safety reasons. So pretty much the public space was forbidden for so long.
And this is what makes these protests in Algeria different from protests in the past. It's the young people like Omar leading the movement. It started on social media, protesters posting on Facebook, even on soccer team pages to get people's attention. Because, you know, Algerians love soccer. Firas says the new generation is much more mature.
This is the maturity, you know. People are really, really thirsty for knowledge. They want to know what should we do now. People have read the constitution for the very first time of their lives because they lost the trust in the political electoral system.
So one thing people are finding out about the constitution, Firas says, is that it may be illegal for Bouteflika to rule. He's sick. Firas says that in Algeria's constitution, if that's the case, if an illness prevents a leader from governing the country, they should step down. But Bouteflika hasn't done that. He wants to extend his rule. Sure, he withdrew from running for a fifth term, but that's not enough for Algerians. They want Bouteflika to step down now.
Yeah, now. The World's Lucy Martirosian, thanks for that. I got a great sense of what's driving these activists. Now, since you reported on the current protests, you'll be interested to hear what preceded them. So stick around while I turn back to our history guy, Chris Wolf. Now, you mentioned earlier, Chris, the protests in Algeria a generation ago, 1988. Remind us what was going on.
Well, you and I probably remember, Marco, the late 1980s being this tremendous time of hope. You know, there seemed to be real change on the horizon. You had the fall of the Berlin Wall. You had the imminent release of Nelson Mandela. It seemed like liberal democracy was on the rise around the world. And Algeria fell into that category as well, with these student-led protests in the fall of 1988, forcing the long-time government there to the one-party rule to a socialist, military-backed government to finally say, OK, let's open the door a little bit. And they opened the door to, for the first time in Algeria's independent history, free elections, free press.
Chris, you're saying like it's a good thing, but when I was talking to Omar and Farah, they were telling me that this was a really painful time in Algeria's history, this time period.
Well, you're absolutely right, Lucy. It didn't end well. That's to cut the long story short. But the elections were prepared. And then to a lot of people's surprise, an Islamic fundamentalist party, the Islamic Salvation Front, started to do really well. And they totally won the first round of elections by a landslide. The next round was scheduled for January 1992. And then the military just said, no, stop.
So it wasn't just a canceled and dysfunctional election. A lot of bad violence happened and went on for years, right?
So, yes, all the leaders of the Islamic Salvation Front were rounded up and their followers started taking up arms as the repression increased. It completely confounded this sense of hope that we had been feeling at the time. And then the violence was just unprecedented. I couldn't go to cover it because they started killing foreign journalists. It was the first time that extremists were starting to kill foreign journalists. They were massacring whole villages that they thought were opposed to them. Men, women, children, whole villages and neighborhoods put to the knife. And to compound it, the government joined in to try and help discredit the rebels by carrying out some of these massacres themselves. It was just a half decade of just appalling, shocking violence.
So really what happened in the late 80s, early 90s, deeply affected what's happening in Algeria today.
That's right, Marco. History doesn't really exactly repeat itself, but the Algerians of today lived through this, or their parents lived through this. So they know this horror story very well about how a repression can come so quickly and so violently. So again, you've got to take your hats off to the young protesters that we're hearing from.
So Lucy Matarossian, I imagine like hearing this history from Chris, there are things that you connect to the current protests and the people that you've been speaking with in Algiers.
Yeah, like I said, Omar would go downtown to Algiers with his dad, and his dad actually, you know, he's lived through all of these protests, even the Battle of Algiers. So his dad would be like really cautious and scared and telling Omar, be careful, don't go here, there's going to be tear gas. He kind of knew how it would play out. But actually, these protests have been really peaceful. And I guess maybe you'd imagine like if it started on social media, it's going to get violent. But young people are doing a really good job. And Omar told me that he feels like change is possible because he doesn't know anything else. He's only known Bouteflika as president. So they know their parents' history and they know that it's a painful time that nobody wants to remember. But they're ready to do this. And Omar was telling me that he goes on Facebook and Instagram because he wants people to be encouraged that it's okay and you can come out to the streets.
The World's Lucy Matarossian and Chris Wolf, thanks very much for explaining the current drama in Algeria to us.
Thanks, Marco.
Yeah, welcome.